centurion said, there's no need for you to do that. I understand what it's like to be in a position of authority. I say to one, come, he comes, there's another, go, and he goes. So you just say the word, because I understand that you have that kind of power over sickness, like I have over these men, greater power than I have over these men. And the Lord marveled, the scripture said. He said, I have not seen so great faith. No, not in Israel. And then he went on to give a teaching about it in the process of it. He healed a man's servant, of course. In a way, that's important because it shows what he can do. But in another way, it's not, because it's 2,000 years ago. So one servant, more or less, probably doesn't make a lot of difference to us today. But every Lord that the Lord spoke makes a great deal of difference to us. Here's what he said. Verily I say unto you, I have not seen so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. That's a grim saying, isn't it? And I can imagine that it was very unsettling to the Jews who heard him say it. Their entire premise was that they were the chosen people of God. They had endured, as a people, a great many hardships that separated them from the rest of the world. God had dealt with them particularly and strictly for centuries. And now comes this that some say is the Messiah and some an heretic. And he says many shall come from the east and from the west, which would mean from other places, other backgrounds, other persuasions, and find a place with the greatest there have ever been among you, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, your forefathers, and you yourselves be cast out. But really that is at the core of the message that Jesus came to bring. Salvation is no longer just to the Jews. It's to every seeking, hungry soul. Anyone who is willing to find the Lord today can have the opportunity to do so. I'm very glad that this is that way, because I don't have a drop of Jewish blood in me, as far as I know, and I would have had no chance had it not been for something of this sort. But the emphasis that the Lord placed, obviously, is on the faith that this man had and the actions that he took as a consequence of the faith that he had. But that phrase, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what I want to think about this morning a little bit. Have you ever tried to consider? You ever lay in your bed at night? It's time to go to sleep and think about what we all know that the future inevitably holds. There comes a time when each of our lives in this world will cease, one way or another. And what then? Something happens beyond it. If there is such a thing as right and wrong, then there is a God. And if there is a God, then there is accountability. And if there is accountability, then I've got to meet whatever I've done that's just or evil. If I've done things that are evil or wicked in the past, what can I possibly ever do to change it? Because time only moves in one direction. Forgiving myself won't cause it to be just before the Lord. There is another scripture that speaks along this line that says that the angels says where the Lord said to the angels, bind them hand and foot and cast them into outer darkness. And I think of that scripture this way. God appoints to each of us at our birth a guardian angel whose task it is to do what can be done to protect our lives and to provide us opportunity to choose to serve the Lord between here and the end of life. See, if there were no constraining force, the devil would overmaster every one of our wills and force us all into sinful practice. He has no mercy. He is determined to destroy everyone that he can. But there is an intervening force, something that caused the devil to stand back and to give you and me the opportunity to choose which way we're going to go. And many times, perhaps, saves us from actual physical peril in this world. I dare say that just about every one of us who's reached adult age could look at ourselves and say, had it not been for some divine power, I'd be in eternity now. There have been incidents where I could easily have lost my life. Others have lost their lives in that kind of thing, but the Lord had mercy on me. I attribute that to the workings of our guardian angel. There is a plan involved in the mystery of those things that's greater than I can comprehend. The Scripture told us that he gave to Peter and through him to you and me the keys of the kingdom, but he said Christ has the keys of death and hell. And there is a time in his wisdom and choosing that he set for all of us. And he operates in that with everyone as he will. Nevertheless, thinking about the time when we or those we love come to the end and we step out of this mortal body and we think about what lies before us, the very angel who stood by us to provide opportunity, if we've chosen the wrong, becomes a witness against us. Because it's then his task to stand before the Lord and say, at the time this person chose to hate, I was there. This is what I did to make it possible for them not to hate. And they chose to do it anyway. That binds you. To be bound with truth. It's more powerful than chains of steel. It's unanswerable. At the time when he was tempted to steal, I was there. I made it possible for him not to steal. But he chose to do it. And now, the opportunity to correct it is over. And he stepped out into the next world. I'll be innocent, the angel will say, because I have provided the opportunity. Bind him hand and foot. Bound hand and foot is to be immobile, isn't it? There's not much left to do anything with. If we come to the end of our life's journey, and God's angels are witness against us, that we have failed to take advantage of the grace and opportunity that was offered us in life to choose to serve the Lord, those same angels will bind us in chains of truth for eternity. And my mind runs out when I think about eternity. One of our songs speaks about it, and he says, eternity's stillness was broken by the groans and the sighs of the lost. Life is short. I think about those that I love, about my own soul, and try to grapple with what it would be like for one of them to be lost eternally. It's in the Bible. It is possible that people should be lost. That's the reason why we have worship services. That's the reason why we give carefulness to our souls. Because we want the Lord to have mercy on us. Whatever may have been in our past, there is a way to seek pardon and forgiveness, to be delivered from it. Whatever is in our future, we want to give to the Lord. Because when we leave this world, we want to hear him say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom given to you. It's not restricted just to the Jews. Many shall come from the east and from the west. That means from all manner traditions, practices, backgrounds. The Lord testified in the Psalms, ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And he meant by that people who have been cannibals, people who have practiced all kinds of witchcraft and mummeries all kinds of confusion. Salvation reaches every one of them, is able to deliver. You see, at the very time that the Lord closed the gates to the Garden of Eden, he opened another gate that is open from here to the end of life, from here to eternity. And that gate is the gate of repentance. Any who will do so can come to the Lord and repent. He shed his blood to make a way. so that our sins can be forgiven, so that we can be changed, have a new heart, and have the privilege to walk with Him in the ways of life. The Lord is looking today, just like He looked for this case when the centurion came to Him, who's looking to find the faith. There's not a word in the Bible where He honored the man's rank, where He paid attention to his background. He just said, I've not found so great faith. That's what the Lord was looking at. Faith is the beginning point of salvation. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So by that means we all are able to find our place with Him. So the 8th chapter of Matthew. But let's look a little before it, if you would, in the 7th, beginning in the 11th verse. The Lord said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. It's familiar, you've heard it before, haven't you? Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And who is there that if his son had asked for a fish, should give him a rock? Or a snake. Ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. It's what we call the golden rule, isn't it? It's worded another way in another place in the Scriptures. Do unto others, we say, as you would have them do unto you. Something like that is in about all of the major religions. It's a good way to live life. Isn't that a reasonable commandment? Let me read it again. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Then he said, that's the whole thing. That is the law and the prophets. The whole thing is bound up in this. Loving others. Caring about others. The Lord answered it another way when he was asked, what is the great commandment? Hear, O Israel, he said, the Lord our God, he is one Lord. And the second commandment is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Thereby, here again, he said, hang all the law and the prophets. This is what God's been trying to get people to do ever since Adam in the garden, through the ages of time. This is the whole thing. It's the law and the prophets. Then he said, enter ye in at the straight gate. But it's very apparent that the gate the Lord meant was this same. This is the straight gate. This is the opening that he's talking about. Let me read it to you again. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. This is the straight gate. He said, enter in at this straight gate. That's what he was referring to. Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereout. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. It isn't really so complicated or hard to understand. I've been talking a little bit about our guardian angel. It is the duty of our guardian angel to make enough about God known to every one of us to know that we can choose to do good to others and not to put ourselves first and to give us the opportunity to do it. Everyone who has a sound mind somewhere in life has that much dealing from the Spirit of the Lord. And it lies within our power to do it, doesn't it? I got a little illustration to show you.
Have it?
I'll move this back and let this take the stand for a while. Thank you. There you see him. Is a gate big enough for a man to get through? Or a woman, a boy, or a girl? But he's not big enough to carry all that pack that he's got on his back. If you just lay the pack down, you can walk right through. But when people have got things they want to try to take with them, in through the straight gate is a stone wall that's made there. It's too big to climb over. It really is the law of the Lord. He's made an entrance for you and I to go in and to find safety on the other side. And think of the things that people have that are in that pack. Greed. Greed will make you cheat somebody. Greed will make you, when you're trying to climb the ladder of success in life, step on somebody else's fingers to get your way. A little bit of covetousness, maybe a little bit of envy. Have you ever felt envy? The Lord promised us to have enough. That doesn't mean a new car every 6 months. Sometimes somebody else is going to have a new car, a new house, a trip away, and you'll be the one to stay home. Sometimes it'll be your time to go, and the other person will have to stay at home. The problem is not in who gets to go or who gets to stay home. The problem being content with what you have and willing to see somebody else prosper, advance, get above you. Did you know that God in His world has ordained poor people and rich people? It is His plan. He set His world up that way, and if He chooses you for a time to be poor, don't envy the rich. And if He chooses you at a time to be in a place where you can do it, don't oppress those who have less than you do. Mocking somebody, scorning on people, considering ourselves above people. It's all in the pack, isn't it? Cruelty. There's so much cruelty in the world today. Actually taking pleasure in the pain of others. Enjoy inflicting pain on somebody else. Some folks enjoy that. It makes them feel superior to do that. They're all things that are in the pack. And none of them are good for you. None of them make your life better. Pride. Lustfulness. Wanting somebody else's companion. Wanting somebody else's place in life. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. You're better off. Every one of us would be. To lay it down. It was a heavy load for this man to carry before he ever got to the gate. Pardon me, it's hard to go through life. Jealous, envious, proud. Most people are their own worst enemy. Most people carry themselves the things that make it most unlikely that they'll be able to get through the gate. The Lord looked at the situation and He said, this is the straight gate. He said, many shall come from the east and from the west. People who never knew very much about God, perhaps, but get hold of this one central truth that the thing to do is to just be kind to others. Put others first. Thereby, He said, hang the law and the prophets. This is the whole thing, He said. This is the straight gate. Give up your greed, your pride, your selfishness, your longing to be the most important. Be willing to just lay it down. It'll cause you lots of trouble. There is nothing the Lord ever calls for you and me to give up that is good for us, that we're not better off without. Every single bit of it, it'll be a blessing to the world and to us. So we just lay it down. Enter ye in at the straight gate, because the reality is, there are a great many people in the world who are going to have to come to that place where the angels bind them hand and foot. And there's no way to turn, and there's nothing left to do. Sometimes I wake up in the night and think about those that I love. Some on the wrong road. What would you do? What would you give? My mother used to say to us children, there were five of us in our family, she said, if you die, after all I've done to raise you right, you die and you're lost, don't call to me. I know that where she is, there is no awareness of grief, but I also know what she was talking about. It's hard for a mother to hear a child cry in distress. And she said, I'm going to do everything I can to help you now. And if you make the wrong choices, I don't want to share. But I don't know how you keep from it. In this world, those that we love, see them going down the wrong road. About our own souls. About our own souls. You know, no matter how old we get, inside every one of us, there's still a little boy or a little girl that can be lost in the dark. And it's a terrible thing to be reduced
from all your maturity and skill and strength back to that most primal level where there's something so desperate that cries out, that says, this can't be happening to me. I didn't want it to end like this. But there it is. And it all comes about because you made the wrong choices. Bind them and cast them into outer darkness. Now try to understand what outer darkness is. I was in a cave once. The tour guide turned out the lights. He said, we notice a phenomenon. So this is total darkness. Your pupils contract if there's any light, or they expand if there's any light at all in the room to pick up that bit of light. And then when the light comes back on, your eyes have to adapt. But when you're in total darkness, there's no light to make your pupil expand. And when the light comes on, you're as adjusted as you were when it went off. You can't find anything in total darkness. It's so easy to get disoriented. If I would be, maybe your sense of direction is much better than mine, but if I were in a totally darkened room and turned around three times, I would be lost. I wouldn't know how to get out. The comparisons in the Bible to what it is to be lost are the most horrific we can imagine. A lake of burning fire, he spoke of, is horrifying. Place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. It's horrifying. The other description that he uses is this one that I'm speaking of. To be cast into outer darkness. But I suppose in a spiritual sense, it means more than not being able to see anywhere, because the rich man who lost his soul saw Abraham. He saw Lazarus. I suppose it means to see there's no hope. There's no way out. This is as bad as it can be, and it's never, ever going to get better. There's nothing that anyone can do that's ever going to make things better than they are right now. This is the worst that can happen. That's eternity without God. Folks, the Lord wants us to take advantage of the opportunity we have now for repentance through the gate that was open, for repentance, and to be willing to give up. It's so simple. Just give up the pack. Don't try to carry a pack of selfishness through life. It'll cost you your soul. You're better off without it. I pray a lot for our young people, because the devil is often so many things out there, and he wish you could stop them and tell them. Somebody told me just the other day, child turns 13, their parents get so much dumber than they were before. Just two or three days. You wish you could stop them and tell them, it's not like the devil's telling you. You'll be disappointed. If you give your life to the Lord while you're a teenager, you will save yourself so much of heartache and disappointment and misery. You're so much better off to do it now. Many of the devil's traps are set during those teen years. They're such vulnerable years. People make the decisions there that affect the rest of their lives. It's entering into adulthood. And many times people make decisions there they can never correct. The devil knows that too. He does everything he can to steal your chance, to tie you up, to hurt you. He wants to hurt you. That's what he's after. Destroy you. And he does it by lying to you. Just like he did to Eve. It won't be like God said it would be. Every sinner is gambling with a clock. Every sinner is hoping there will be time for me to do these things that I want to do. And I'll have an opportunity to make it right before I leave here. I don't think anybody in their right mind has in mind, I want to live just as sinfully as I can and die and be lost eternally. Anyone who understands what it is could never do it. The answer is simple. Just lay down your pack. You can go through this gate. On the other side, there is a place where the Lord will be your friend and walk with you along the journey. On this side, there's heartache and disappointment. There's sorrow. And at the end, there's eternal damnation. That's why we have worship service. That's the whole emphasis of all that we try to do in living for the Lord. It made me think of a song that we've got in our hymnals, number 432. I want to read you some of the words. I don't know who these people are who wrote the song. But the verses say, come to the Savior, thou poor, weary soul. That man with that big old bundle on his back is certain to be weary. Don't you know that? It'd be so hard. He is so tired. It's so hard to hate people. It's so hard to envy people. It's so hard to hold grudges, to be jealous. It fills you with such darkness to be bitter and scornful against people. Come to the Savior, thou poor, weary soul. It's Jesus who invites thee to come. By the power of his blood would he now make thee whole. When a person's heart is filled with selfishness, they're not a whole person. There's something missing out of your life that the Lord wanted to be there. He wants to fit you to dwell in his home. His great loving heart beats in pity for thee. He anxiously waits for thee now. The third verse, your time now is passing, eternity's near. The sun hangs low o'er thy way. Oh, turn to him now, the glad gospel word hear. Oh, hasten while yet there is day. And if you're here this morning and you needed to go in the gate, the old devil's caught you with something. I know it's Sunday morning, it's not very convenient. Don't let that stop you. What a caution. It is dangerous to pass up a time when the Lord pays a visit. There's trouble ahead. There is a positive. The centurion had faith, made the right choice, and received a blessing. And there is a way to do that. And there is a way to leave this world with victory, with a comfort and an assurance. Thank God that it's so. And let's do it. Lord being our helper, let's do it.